In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost. Amen. In his brief of November 16, 1877, Pope Pius IX said about our dear St. Francis de Sales, "The teaching of Francis was held in such high regard in his lifetime that our predecessor of happy memory, Clement VIII, chose him alone, the Bishop of Geneva, from among a large number of worthy defenders of Catholic truth who flourished at that time, to approach Theodore Beza, the most zealous proponent of the Calvinist plague, and to deal with him one-on-one, so that once this sheep had been returned to the fold of Christ, many others might be brought back as well. Francis accomplished this task so well, and not without danger to his life, that the heretic Beza was deservedly reduced to silence and confessed the truth. Although, because of his wickedness in the hidden judgment of God, he was clearly unworthy to be returned to the bosom of the Church." St. Francis de Sales was born on August 21st, 1567, in Savoy, a dukedom that existed at that time between France, Italy, and what today is Switzerland. He was formed in the prestigious universities of Paris and Padua, ordained a priest in 1593, and sent on mission to the Chablais region that had been lost to the Calvinists. He dedicated the first 5 years of his priesthood to the conversion of the Protestants by talks, speeches, and pamphlets that he published. He was well known during his life for the sweetness of his virtues, the childlike simplicity of his heart, and the humility and tenderness of his love. Even today, he is famous for bringing back 72,000 Calvinists to the faith and teaching countless other souls true devotion to God. St. Francis de Sales was a man of such erudition that the Holy Father would consult him on other thorny issues which were brought to his attention. He was also consulted by many others regarding different questions of faith and morals. In his advice, he did much to advance various subjects in moral, dogmatic, and spiritual theology and scripture. His reputation was great among various Roman pontiffs, princes, judges, and priests. His exhortations, opinions, and decisions were used to re-establish the Catholic faith in areas where it was presumed lost. The commonly held high opinion of the excellence of his teaching only increased after his death. In 1665, Pope Alexander VII, in the bull of his canonization, described St. Francis de Sales as a man well known for his doctrine, admirable for his holiness, an antidote against the poison of heresies, and a barrier against error. His teachings are like living water, so that even today, 350 years later, they quench the hearts of all people who approach them and produce abundant fruits of evangelical life. The 12 books that comprise his treatise on the love of God bring together his knowledge with precision and clarity, and are read with much profit in our day. More than this, in his introduction to the devout life, he describes virtues in vivid colors and teaches his readers to straighten twisted paths, flatten hilly ones, and all in all, to walk to heaven on the simpler and easier path of devotion. He showed that sanctity was possible for all, whether in the palaces of kings, the barracks of soldiers, in shops and stores of merchants, in factories of workers, and even in the smallest huts of the villages. He had a gift of explaining the highest of principles of the science of God to faithful of all stripes, conditions, and origins. More than these two works, he wrote numerous others on various topics of spirituality. He founded the Order of the Visitation and showed admirable wisdom in the constitutions that he gave them. Moreover, there is a rich treasure of principles of asceticism found in the letters of spiritual direction that he wrote to a large number of people in various walks of life. In these letters, we can find the seeds of devotion to the Sacred Heart of our Lord, a devotion that will stand us in good stead in our miserable times. In these texts, he showed evidence of heavenly graces for the interpretation of various enigmas in the Song of Songs, particularly to derive moral lessons and teachings about the end times, whether explaining it to the educated or the uninstructed. Our saint also deployed his talent to write works responding to heretical teachings and to affirming Catholics in their faith, particularly by his books, The Catholic Controversy and The Defense of the Banner of the Cross. He was able to bring back a large number of Calvinists to the Catholic Church. In his lifetime, he brought back the whole of the Chablais region to the true faith. In these works, he also defended the infallibility of the Pope, words that were found to be very helpful at the time of the First Vatican Council. St. Francis took ill for the last time in his life on December 27th in the year 1622, the feast of St. John the Evangelist. After celebrating Mass and distributing communion to the Sisters of the Visitation, he took to bed for the last time. On the following day, the Feast of the Holy Innocents, his soul left for its Creator. He was a worthy companion of the innocents who died in the place of our Lord all those years ago in Bethlehem. Holy Mother Church, however, could not keep either of these 2 days for the feast of our great saint, as they were already chosen for the great evangelist and the holy innocents. It was fitting, however, to keep his feast during the 40 days of Christmas. And so January 29th was chosen, the first available day after the octave of Epiphany. Christmas was the favorite feast of our dear patron. Out of the divine charity in his heart, he spoke quite eloquently of our newborn king in his letters. In a letter to the religious of the Visitation, he pointed out how our Lord chose to be born on Christmas Day so that he could visit us, and in turn, we are to visit him in the crib. In this, we should give him all the love of which we were capable, and give him a warm welcome of hospitality, sing to him the sweetest of carols, and above all, adore him very earnestly and very sweetly. And with him, adore his poverty, his humility, his obedience, and his meekness, as did his Holy Mother and Saint Joseph. Like the shepherds watching over our flocks, we too should watch over our affections. Being informed by the angel, let us go to pay our homage to the divine child and offer him, as an earnest token of our eternal loyalty, the fairest of the lambs, our love, unreserved and undivided. Let us all look to cultivate a devotion to this great saint and learn from his teaching. He learned to imitate the sweetness and gentleness of Jesus, learning to be meek and humble of heart. As promised by our Lord in the Beatitudes, our holy patron possessed the land. Nothing could resist him. Heretics, however obstinate, sinners, however hardened, tepid souls, however sluggish, all yielded to the powerful charm of his word and example. Not only did he receive a good education gratefully, he offered it all back to God to reap bountiful fruits from his work. All of it put together filled 26 volumes, among which his Introduction to the Devout Life and Treatise on the Love of God are most famous and have never been out of print since the 17th century. St. Francis de Sales gave much advice to people in all walks of life by writing letters to them, which have been collected and published. The main thrust of Salesian spirituality is that holiness is for everyone. It is not reserved for the select few in religious life. Let us resolve this year to learn more of what this great saint has to teach us, to be meek and humble of heart, like our Lord and Savior. Saint Francis de Sales, pray for us. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost. Amen.